Well, you know, growing up, not like most of you, I grew up a heathen. I was baptized a Hartshill Baptist. I was baptized a Holy Roller. I don't know what kind of water they used, but it didn't work. So my family wasn't really church-oriented. But sometime around the seventh grade or so, they told us that we had to learn a poem and stand up in front of everybody and give it. You don't know how terrified I was. But the thing about it, for reasons not known to me, that's all right, dear, save a bite. I chose the 121st Psalm. And I don't know why. I still don't know why exactly. But it says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from Yahweh who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Yahweh shall preserve you from all the evil one. He shall preserve your soul, and Yahweh shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Well, I didn't know how true that was going to end up being, but about 1986, I became disabled with a back problem. I couldn't sit, I couldn't stand, I couldn't walk without pain. So for 4.5 years, I was in constant pain. And they told me it was all in my head, but I said my head didn't hurt. But, so this is, it happened shortly after Ronnie, when I thought at the time it fell off the turnip wagon with this new religion about, you know, no Christmas, no Easter, and meet on Saturday. And so every time that I would ask Ronnie a question why he's doing some of the crazy things he was doing, he'd give me a booklet. The Worldwide was good about giving out booklets. So I didn't have anything else to do for 4.5 years, so I'd read this booklet. And so, not being schooled in the Bible, I had to look all this up. Well, lo and behold, unknowing to me, Yah was working with me. Don't know why then, and still don't know why now exactly. But it brings to mind Psalm 71, 17 and 18. Oh God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wonders. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O Yah, do not forsake me until I have declared your strength to this generation and your power to everyone who is to come. But back in those days, we were in churches of God. Regardless of what flavor it was, it didn't matter. I was intellectually converted. I think you all can understand what I'm talking about. Meantime, around 1995, we started taking a slightly different path from our Churches of God folks. And they thought we were going Jewish. But Mitchell Smith and Joe Good took us down the Hebraic path about 1996. And, of course, there was 2 Footsteps of Messiahs conferences in Wagner, and in 1999 we had our first SOOJ Feast of Tabernacles in Lake Murray, Oklahoma. Now, it was a great feast, okay? Nothing like the Churches of God. By this time, you know, it's just really awesome. We had a wonderful feast. I mean, we were so bursting with love, and we were high, legally. We didn't have to worry about a breath test or anything. But my sister-in-law had died in Ohio just before Yom Teruah. Ronnie picked me up at the airport, and we went over to Tim and Angie's to celebrate Yom Teruah. So after the feast, we were going back up to Ohio to help him deal with things and that sort of thing. Well, lo and behold, we left Lake Murray, Oklahoma. We got home to Waco, Texas, and threw out feast stuff and our dirty clothes we put back in because I was going to worship my brothers. And we put Ohio stuff in, and we took off, 4:30 from Waco, Texas. Well, I'm driving, and boy, it's wonderful. You know, we still got that, we still got that love and feeling because, you know what, we must have had, what, somewhere around 200 that year. I mean, it was awesome. So about 12 o'clock, I'm feeling tired. That's all I'm feeling. So told Ronnie he needed to drive, so we had a van. So I got back in the back, laid on the bench seat. And somewhere around 2 o'clock, I started wiggling. My back was killing me. And then more I wiggled, the worse it got. And then the more I wiggled and the worse it got, the sicker at my stomach I got. So I don't know how many of you ladies have a husband like mine. If you tell me you gotta go to the bathroom, 2 hours later, he finds one, okay? But this particular night, I said, baby, I need a bathroom now. And it was like, zoom, right off the freeway. We were in West Memphis, Arkansas, 2 o'clock in the morning, in the middle of nowhere. We got this little truck stop there, and I got out, and boy, I'm not doing too well. I was kind of like as white as Tina's outfit is here, and I went in the bathroom, and that wasn't any better. So I came out, and I grabbed Ronnie by the shirt collar. I was, you know. So I said, what's a heart attack feel like? He says, well, I don't know. Do you think you ought to go to the hospital? I said, I think that'd be a hell of a good idea. And so, believe it or not, he went back in and asked, and there's a hospital 2 blocks away. So we go there and say, hey, you know, we think she's having a heart attack. So they get me out, throw me up on the table, and take some of them tests, you know. And he comes back and says, Miss McCowan, you really are having a heart attack. I said, get out of here. So he said, but we got some stuff. He says, it's called a clot buster. That's around the time it was invented. And they gave me one in this arm and one in this arm. And he said, now, if you got any scabs anywhere, you're going to start bleeding. Well, I noticed after that, every time we went to Oklahoma, I always ended up with a fever blister. So here I got this big old fever blister, and all of a sudden, I got blood running everywhere. But they give me morphine, and then they come in, he says, you know, we took the blood, and yeah, you are having a heart attack. And I said, well, I don't feel too bad. I think we'll go on to Ohio. I mean, you get morphine, it's all right, you know. So he said, now, Miss McCown, you really need to find out why you have this heart attack. I said, is that important? Now, keeping in mind, my mother had died of a heart attack at age 60. My father had died of a heart attack at 63. So they're going to try to admit me. They had 5 or 6, it was a small number of ICU rooms. It was full and everyone was on a respirator. So, okay, they say, hey, you need to go over to West Memphis hospital over there. So, okay, they put me in an ambulance and drove like I was fixing to die. And I said, if you don't slow down, I ain't gonna need a hospital. But then they put me over in Memphis, Tennessee, across the river, in this hospital. Now, to get over there, you had to have a doctor say that you're their patient. Now, we found out that this West Memphis, Tennessee hospital is the leading cardiac teaching hospital. And the guy that runs this deal, he agreed I would be his patient. Now, the thing about this, Ronnie's sitting down in the waiting room and people would ask him who my doctor was, and he'd tell him, he said, that can't be. There's a waiting list for that guy. He is the head teacher of this hospital. Now, on Monday, I get one of these cardiac test thing, you know, where they run the dye in, and of course I had one full blockage of an artery, one partially, and several that was not looking too good. So they set me up for surgery. Now, they give me all this la-la stuff, and I'm laying down in the prep room, and these nurses are fighting on who got to work with this doctor. And I'm thinking, wow, if they're fighting over him, I should be ecstatic that this guy is going to do my surgery. So, and actually, it's ironic because yesterday was my 13th anniversary of my heart attack. So the 6th is when I had my triple bypass heart surgery. And that was on a Wednesday at that time. And I kept asking the doctor, I said, now do I need to see a heart specialist when I get to back to Waco? He said, you don't think I did a good job? And I said, well, I hope so. And I said, do I need to join a support group? He said, why, you want to teach the class? Because I'd always heard you have a heart attack, you go to a support group and whatever. Well, I didn't do none of that. So then on Tuesday morning, he comes in and says, you need to get out of my hospital. I said, well, okay. And I got stitches from here to here, stitches from here to here. And I said, what about these stitches? Well, here, take this, give it to your own doctor, and he'll take stitches. Well, they were clamps anyway. I had to play head going through any metal detectors at the time. But in the meantime, on Wednesday when I was surgeried, oh, I don't know what time of evening it was, but my surgery was at 12, these two very good friends of ours, I didn't know at the time how good they were going to become, flew up in their airplane to see me. Of course, they did have some trouble getting home because there was a storm and they had to land somewhere else. But, y'all had everything worked out. And people from all over that area that we didn't know, from the churches of God, came by to see me. So on Tuesday, he tells me to get out. So, okay, we get out and we stop. We get as far as Texarkana. The next day, we go on to the Kelly's house. She fixed us soup and something else, and then we went on finally to the house. So, you know, when you look back, it's 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of nowhere, and there's a hospital 2 blocks. And it can't give me any help because they're full. So I have to go to the leading cardiac teaching hospital in that area. Now, when you look at this, you can see Yah's hand all through this. You know, and I tell this story a lot. I work at H&R Block, and we're not supposed to talk religion or anything, but if there's no clients in there, we talk. And I've told that story 2 or 3 times to different people, and they are amazed. But my God is big enough for that. So, All this being told, and see, this just happened in a very short period of time. And, no, I wasn't supposed to, but 2 weeks later, I was sitting in a chair in our garden, pulling weeds. Yeah. And I fed chickens, you know. Actually, my leg hurt worse than any other thing. But I got it, like I said, it started in my ankle and goes all the way up to my crotch area. So I got all these little things there that hurts. But hey, I'm alive, so what's a little hurt? So all this being told, this started, remember I told you a while ago I was intellectually converted. But this was the time I started my personal relationship with the Father and my Savior. And then I finally knew what Joshua 5 really meant. No man should be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you nor forsake you. As well as 1 Kings 8:57. May the Lord our God be with us as He was with our fathers. May He not leave us or forsake us. Hebrews 13:5-6 is another example. Let your conduct be not covetous. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, Yahweh is our helper. What can man do to me? But Yah had me where I need to be, when I needed to be there, and praise the Lord, He helped Ronnie find the service station quickly. I've been with him, I said, I got to go to the bathroom, and 2 hours later, oh, do you say I have to go to the bathroom? Well, did I get out? You know. But the other day, since we'd been here, I went down to the auditorium early, and one of the cleaning folks was coming out of the building, and we got to chit-chatting. She don't know what I'm going to talk. You don't even know I'm going to talk, you know. And she was telling me that because of her faith, she lost a very good job at Home Depot. Now, keeping in mind, she is a Sunday keeper, but she has now been to several of our events. But she lives on the other side of the lake, her and her husband and children. And she hasn't worked till she started working here in July. Now her husband, his last paycheck with the stub, he made half as much so far as he did the year before. And she started working here. They haven't lacked for anything because she has the faith in our Father. And she says, we haven't been without food. We have made things stretch. And I don't know her name, but here's another person that sees the hand of Yah in her life and her husband's life. Have you noticed the number of scriptures that we've heard this week about Him not forsaking us and being with us always? Maybe I noticed it more because this is what I was talking about, but I keep seeing it over and over, these kind of things, okay? But I want to make a confession. They say confession is good for the soul, all right? I may shock some of my friends who know me very well and some that know me well, but I'm not perfect. Is Is that okay? I mean, nope. I didn't see anybody faint or anything. Didn't see anybody slide under the table. But I'm not perfect. But, you know, when things happen to us, normally the first question is, why me? Well, a little better question is, why not you? And an even better question is, what am I supposed to learn from this? You know, and I'm reminded about our Savior. There's a scripture that says something about Him being perfect, okay? I don't know scripture and verse, but I know it's in there. Why should we be any different than our Messiah? He had to suffer to be perfect. But I, like Paul, know what I'm supposed to do, but don't always do it. How many of you feel the same way? Yep. There has been a lot of trials for me since 2010. 2010, I had a discussion with a cow and I broke my right foot. 3 weeks before the feast. But that was the year we were in prison, so I got to go in prison in a wheelchair. Well, I didn't have to tote nothing, you know. And then last year, the day after the feast, we were at a close friend's house, and I broke my left foot. Well, I was in one of those silly little walking boots from November 2011 till the middle of May after I had surgery on my foot. I had to have surgery because there was a bone that was broke. I had two bones broken, a ligament torn. One bone and one ligament was fine. But the other one was what they call a floater. So they had to go take it out. And see, I work in a tax office. And January to April 15th or 17th, I'm knee-deep in trying to get our government some money and trying to save you money. You know, those are oxymorons. They don't go together. So I had to wait till after tax season and have surgery. And so by the middle of May, I'm good to go. And then we got the 4th of July, and Joe Good's coming up to Tim and Angie's house the second week of July. And I got up on a Tuesday morning, and oh, my back. And, it was a crank, but it wasn't too bad. So I figured, well, I could go to work. And then Wednesday afternoon, we were going to leave for Angie's. Boy, the longer I was there, the worse it got. And I'm going, hopping around. And I missed the second night of Joe's stuff because I just flat could not handle it. Went out in the car and laid down. Angie made me an appointment on Friday for the chiropractor in Hawkins. So long story short, I get back to town, have x-ray, have an MRI. I've got a bulging disc and a ruptured disc in my L4 and 5. But, praise God, I have had two of those shots. And I'm not too bad other than some numbness. Whoa. I turn it off. No, I turn it on. It's on. Asatan don't want me to tell their story. So, this ain't funny. Fix it. See, it's on. Oh, you're doing, there you go. All right. Does that mean I got to stand still? Don't pull on the cord. All right. Gosh. So, I get these shots in my back. First shot, it was about 50%. And we got scheduled for the second shot week before I had to take the IRS competency test. Now, that's not a mental test, okay, because I'd flunked that in a heartbeat, but I hate this thing. Maybe I have to do that, no? The cord's touchy. So am I. There. Huh? I don't know whether it's up here.
Okay, just stand right there.
Stand right here, yes. Okay. So I got this second shot. And I'm about 90%. But I've really had to watch myself here. But I've been able to dance for the first time in 2 years. Praise God. I was hoping to dance when Joe was up, and then here's my back, and I'm going, oh, good gravy goose. But lo and behold, I got to dance at Yom Teruah. And that's a blessing. I don't dance as well as I blow the shofar, but there you go. You can't be good at everything. The thing, though, that this has shown me at my age, see, we're back to, what am I supposed to learn from this? Well, I think part of what I learned is I'm not 21 anymore. You know, I can't climb a ladder with a 5-gallon bucket of paint in this hand and a caulk gun in this hand. And I can't bounce the ladder down the wall. I don't bounce well anymore, but the other thing that I've learned is that just because something doesn't get done when mama thinks it ought to be done, you know, guess what? Nobody dies. Imagine that. I thought all these years that if it didn't get done when I wanted it done right here, the world would end, somebody'd die. But they don't. So the other thing that I learned is going back to when I was first called. 4.5 years. I was down for 4.5 years. I kept reading all that literature and all that kind of stuff. And it seemed like after, and I had been anointed, I had prayers from all over this country and 2 continents besides us. And it seemed like at the end of the 4.5 years, I'd have really been extremely excited if it had been 3.5 years, but it was 4.5 years. What was causing my pain was not fixed, okay? My pain was taken away. Now, I have to assume he had me learning what he wanted to teach me, because I'm not going to get anything anywhere else. So here we are. I'm down a month and a half with my foot. I'm down 2 months because of my back. And I'm going, okay, let's look at this. Now, what I'm fixing to say is not that I turn my back on Messiah or the Father. Throughout the day when things happened, praise Yah, thank you Yeshua, whatever. But my personal time with my betrothed husband was not there, or my Father. And the fact is, do not forget your husband-to-be. This is how he gets my attention anyway. You know, he's saying, I miss you. Please talk to me. And he reminds me every morning that he wants to hear from me. And, you know, I get up in the morning, I rush over here, do this, I rush over here, do that, I rush over here, do that. And by the time I'm thinking about things, it's noon. I haven't, other than thanking him for the meals and whatever, I haven't talked to him. And while I was still cripping around with this sciatic problem over here. I felt pretty good, so I went out to look at my chickens. Well, you know, I'm an outside person, and I've been inside more than a month and a half, except to go to the doctor. So I hobbled out to the chicken pen, and I went inside, and I was just talking to my ladies, and I got a rooster named Elijah. And the guys had been saying he's been attacking them. And I said, well, I don't know what your problem is, but he doesn't attack me. Well, I should have kept my mouth shut because I'm hopping around out there, and that booger come up, wrapped his spurs around my leg, and went to pecking on my kneecap. He raised a goose egg about that high, and I said a few words. Thank you, y'all. And I looked around and I found me a piece of 1-inch PVC pipe about that time. And it's got a 4-way on it. And after that, I went to showing him about the game croquet. I don't think he likes to play croquet. But now when I go in that pen, he runs to the other end of the pen. Now if I could just get my husband and my children that way, I'd be fine. But again, see, he was telling me I wasn't ready to be out there. And Elijah might not have had to play the croquet ball if I hadn't been out there. Of course, if he'd have done that to Ronnie, he would have been soup. Yeah, with all that Yah has done for me, I still don't do the things I'm supposed to do in the form of prayers. You know, I appreciated Joe this week because I thought, surely I'm the only one that can't seem to keep up with my prayers. But with Joe, I get so wrapped up in the world, with my job, with the 10 acres, with the house, and of course, Ronnie doing better now, but I have been dealing with him, and I have my son there. But then I know I have neglected my father and my betrothed husband. And I've talked to Ronnie about, during tax season from January to April, he's a bachelor. He sees me when he sees me. I put crock pot food on in the morning. But he does say he can keep the TV as loud as he wants and he can watch what he wants. So I don't get to see Ronnie much during the tax season, except on Friday night and Shabbat. And we're on the road every Shabbat to a prison. So we do get to spend lots of time, but that's when we listen to CDs and things also. So I know how he feels during that 6-month or the 4-month period where I'm not there, even though he says, he really likes that because he's got a man cave. Speaking of man cave, I went on his side of the bed the other day. I said, what is all that? He said, that's my man cave. At home, I call it clutter. I don't know. So I'd like to close before I open for discussion. We got about 5 minutes, right? With Isaiah 59:1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. So if you don't have your at 9 o'clock and 3 o'clock time to get on your knees in your prayer closet to pray, I think that's a good thing if you have the time. You're in the car going to the grocery store. You're doing lots of things. Now during my work time, I pray every morning on the way to work. So for 4.5 months a year, I'm a good prayer person. But at home, I seem to get derailed. Now, so what are some of the things we can do about that? That's your question. what you're going. You got to be on the den.
Okay. I've had a hard time with this because I get up and immediately world starts, or I'm in pain, or I'm sick, or. And something that's really, really helped is the very first thing you do is sometimes we're not even out of bed yet. We just sort of scoot around and put our heads down and we face east, which is just something we do, and we pray together, my husband and I. And by doing that together, and by doing that even every morning before we even crawled out of bed yet, means that I have greeted my Heavenly Father first in the morning, and my husband and I have prayed for each other and over each other in the morning. And it takes 3 minutes, unless I get really long-winded, and then it.
Thanks, Shannon. How about it? I don't know if I can get there with this thing working.
How do you interpret that we should fear the Lord?
Is that on topic? Can I wimp out with that? Didn't you have a certain fear for your mother and father? Of disappointment or something along that line? I did. I felt that, if I did this, I was going to disappoint my parents. If I didn't do this, it was going to be a slight disappointment. I knew they would always love me, but so I had a certain amount of fear. And my mama, she welded a pretty good hand. She was Miss 4x6, whichever way you'd like there. So I had a certain amount of fear for her, and my father, you see, he thought that the sun rise and set in me. So all he'd have to do is give me a look, and I could be in tears that I had disappointed him. So, you know, when I think about this, I fear that I am letting my father down. I feel guilty. But we have to go and repent, and sometimes it's going and repenting and getting forgiveness and going and repenting and getting forgiveness. Maybe it's a trick floor, I don't know. So, and that's my explanation. And I don't think it is a fear. I think if you look at the Hebrew word, it's more like an awe or respect. I think if you take it back to the Hebrew word, you'll find that it's really not for, I'm fearful of this or whatever. Because he tells us, fear not. Fear is not of God. Fear is of Hasatan. Okay, is that good enough? Oh, well, that's my interpretation. How about some more suggestions of what we can do about this? You know, do y'all have some of the same problems? Some of you with children probably really do. Alicia. No, I don't want you to stand up and yell. I'm the only one that's
allowed to. I have these children, I can speak.
Me too. I'm the only one that can yell.
I have all the children.
This is a struggle for me. And so one of the things that I have learned to do to overcome this is I have 6 alarms on my phone. And so I get up, I get dressed, I go to the bathroom, and I know at 5:30 that alarm is going to go. That alarm is going to go off. And that I am to stop what I'm doing and kneel and pray to my Heavenly Father. And a little bit of self-discipline helps there too. But that's the way it works for me. So with that phone being surgically attached to me most of the time, I'm able to help that out.
Thanks, Alicia. I think we're okay. Hey, I appreciate your listening and laughing at me. You don't know how scared I was up here. Like I said, I'm not a public speaker, but I hope that you see that other women go through some of the same struggles. But that you can look and see the hand of God. Even if it's a little thing, it's still the hand of God, and tell somebody about it. We're supposed to tell everybody. People say, oh, we're not seeing any miracles anymore, because nobody is telling it. Run, I mean, Phyllis. Last one.
Okay. I'll try to make this brief. This is about how he's with us. He's with us all the time. And even when you get up in the morning, and this time was the day after Sandy and I got home from the feast in 2004, and I was trying to light my furnace, and it exploded in my face. I had first and second degree burns. I lost my eyebrows, my eyelashes. The doctor who took care of me, she took me to the hospital, and it was excruciating pain. The doctor who took care of me the second day could not believe that I was wearing my contact lenses at the time this happened, because what usually happens is the contact lens is fused to the eyeball and you are left blind. I was protected, even though I didn't ask for protection that morning, because I didn't think that I was going to get burned. Didn't know I was going to get burned. So, but I took out the contact lenses in the hospital, and then I wore my glasses for, I don't know, several weeks while it healed. Someone else told me to put lavender on the burn and it would heal without scars, and it did. But anyway, that's when I found out God was with me, no doubt about it.
Thank you. Linda? But I thank you all for your patience and your time.
Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you to Donna. You've been a great audience for Donna's first step on her public speaking career.
That's the last step.